You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe a difficult place, or perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with a Christmas season message of God's greatest gift, Emmanuel, the hope of the world, as we share the 25 Talks of Christmas all this month on Richard Ellis Talks. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from the Advent calendar on the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fruit of the Womb. Go to Luke chapter 1. I had a conversation a few days ago with a young man, about 21, who had been coming to church. And in the conversation, the whole God thing comes up, and he says, I'm an atheist. And I thought, wow, this is going to be interesting, depending on how good an atheist he is. But I sat there with this guy, and by the time it was all over, when he got out of the car, I said, you know what, on a very selfish way, I need to thank you. I said, because this is like really good for me. Because I have to think about how I articulate, how I express, how I even communicate these crazy things that I say I believe. So I'm going to read you stuff from the Bible today. And if you're listening somewhere beyond here, you say, well, it's preposterous. At some point, you got to either believe or you don't believe. And one of the non-negotiables is that Jesus was born of a virgin. If he is not born of a virgin, then he's just some nice guy. We don't need a nice guy. We need a savior. Luke chapter 1, I'm not going to read you the whole chapter. Elizabeth has already found out she's going to have a baby. She's not a virgin, but she is barren. You know, the systems have shut down. I guess that's a technical way of putting it. It ain't going to happen. So she thinks, but she finds out she's going to have a baby, John the Baptist. So we're going to jump in here in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So the angel shows up 6 months into, the timing of this is 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, to a virgin. And it is not just in there for decoration. This is a huge deal. To a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now that would be a crazy thing to have anyone say to you, especially an angel. I have, as far as I know, I have never seen an angel. But I guarantee you, Mary saw this angel, heard this angel. If he had wings, if he showed up as a person, you know, you can entertain, the Bible says you can entertain angels unaware. You could be speaking with an angel and not even know it at some point. So he says all these things. Then verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled. Now this word troubled means to disturb wholly. That is agitate with alarm, trouble. This was not, oh, nice to see you, Mr. Angel Gabriel. You know, it's not like she had seen him before probably. So she is troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So she's troubled by what he says and is kind of alarmed by this greeting that she's hit with. What is the greeting? Rejoice. You know, you should be excited. I think, you know, maybe you're right, but I'm terrified. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, among all women. Now, let me just go ahead and say this here. I got nothing against Mary. And please hear this very carefully here and beyond. There are religious people on the planet who elevate Mary to a place that she does not belong in. Now you say, well, wait, don't be, you know, dissing Mary. You know, she's something. I'm not saying she's among all women who ever lived, but Mary is not sinless. Mary is not perfect. She is not the fourth person of the Godhead. Okay, so you cannot just say, well, somebody said Mary is all that, so we're going to make her all that. The Bible never makes Mary anything other than what she is. Now, that is a special thing. No other woman has ever experienced that, ever will experience that, but it doesn't mean you have to make her some kind of deity. And this is where it makes people really nervous, and I'm trying to be really sensitive because we all come from a different place. If you're going to get to the Father, the scripture says that Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, but by me and my mom. Okay? So when you're praying even, you can thank God for Mary. You can go, wow, she's amazing. And Jesus, if you run into your mom today, tell her we said hello, whatever you want to do. But you don't have to go through Mary to get to Jesus. to get to God. You don't have to go through Mary to get anywhere. That's not her purpose. God picked her so that Jesus could get here through her, not to him through her. Okay? So you say, oh, I'm shaking, I'm rattling, I got to get out of here, I'm going to turn you off because it's blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. If it's not in the scripture, don't be believing it. You say, yeah, but somebody said it's true. If it's not in here, it's not true. And we're not trying to be mean to Mary, but don't be so nice to her that you put her in a really awkward place. She's troubled. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. And if you go back in the Old Testament, angels show up. Of course, people are afraid. I would be afraid too. You would be afraid if an angel showed up. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, was Mary picked because she was extraordinary, or is she extraordinary because she was picked? She's just some girl, but she got picked. Now, this isn't what my sermon's about today, but let me go here parenthetically. If you're a Christian, you got picked. Why did you get picked? Because you were all that? You got picked just because you got picked. She got picked. She wasn't sinless. She wasn't perfect. One of the things she had to be was a virgin, so that's held up pretty high. That's a necessary thing. And as you'll see here in a minute, she was some extraordinary things, which really are no different than us if you just do them, if you're just willing, and we'll see how this unfolds in a second. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. So now he is the Son of the Highest. You say, well, no, Mary wasn't, okay, we'll go with Mary was a virgin, but she heard all this, maybe slept with Joseph really quick. They had a baby. They called him Jesus and covered up for God. He didn't need help. Somehow the Holy Spirit of God overshadows her, it says, and a child, the God child, is formed in that womb. You say, well, I can't explain that. I can't explain it either, but I believe it. If God can make the macro, the universe itself, why can't he come down and put a sperm in an egg and impregnate a virgin? I have no problem with that. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, not for a period of time, forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, go back over this with me a second. She's been alarmed. He shows up. Don't be afraid. And then he says all of these things about what's about to happen. Conceive in your womb. She's, that's impossible. She's a virgin. Bring forth a son. How are you going to know what it is? You haven't seen the baby yet. There's no pregnancy test we can do to see if it's a boy. So you're already telling me I'm going to be a baby. I'm a virgin. It's going to be a son. You're already naming him. He will be great, called the Son of the Highest. Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And what does she come back with? Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Is that the only question you're going to come up with? I mean, my question would be like, what? The whole thing's impossible. And you're telling me I'm going to give birth as a virgin to this person? Who is this person? Now, do you think she just got it immediately? Whatever it is, she got over pretty quickly who he was going to be and went to a simple question, okay, then how's it going to happen? Doesn't mean she doesn't have faith. It just means she's like, okay, then I know I haven't been with anybody. However this is going to go down, that's my question. How can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So you're the mom. God himself will be the dad. The kid will be the Son of God, Jesus himself. Now, guys, I really recommend that when you read your Bible, you slow down and meditate and think about these things. This is unbelievable. How do you absorb, as a young woman, an angel showing up, finding out God had picked you to carry his son, and this is who it was, the Messiah, who everybody's been waiting for, and you're it. You're the one carrying it. Now, you should be just as overwhelmed as a Christian. You got picked. And the same Son of God that was in her womb now lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are carrying God around, as it were, in the womb of your life. And at some point, we lose our amazement with that, or we don't understand it. Pray to God that you get that more and more and more. You have God himself living inside of you. We have lost our awe, our wonder, our worship about these things. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy One who is born to you will be called the Son of God. And then she gives her a little backup. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. So obviously, Mary knows something about this, knows who Elizabeth is. We'll see in a minute, goes to see her. So there's enough relationship that she's aware that maybe Elizabeth wanted to have a kid. She is not able to. Everybody goes, she's just barren. It's not going to happen. Now she's pregnant. Sometimes hearing what God is doing in someone else's life gives you a little oomph to be able to keep moving yourself, right? And God will send somebody and say, well, I see this is your challenge. Well, let me tell you what he did for me. Maybe if he did that for me, he can do whatever this is for you. You go, okay. Yeah, I got that. And then verse 37. If you're comfortable underlining stuff in your Bible, you should underline verse 37. Because here, after he's told her, the angel has told her, you're going to bear this Jesus as a virgin, Elizabeth, who's barren, is pregnant. The answer to it all is, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you really believe that? And God has a way of going where we can't go and doing things we can't do, like getting a virgin pregnant. If he can get a virgin pregnant, he can do anything. So what is it you've got that you don't believe God can do anymore? You got a family member who's not a Christian? Let me tell you something. If he can get virgins pregnant and raise the dead, he can save your friend, your family. He can do whatever he wants to do. So don't lose hope. And I used to tell people, where there's breath, there's hope. I don't tell people that anymore because it's wrong. With God, even where there is not breath, there is still hope, because Lazarus got raised from the dead and didn't have breath. So even if you die, he can raise you from the dead. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, now this is a brief conversation. Is this everything that was said? This is all we got. So I assume this is the exchange. The angel greets her, blows her mind, that alone, tells her what's going to go down. She has one question. How can this be, since I do not know a man? She absorbs somehow that she's going to be God's mom. Conversation about Elizabeth. Nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold the maidservant, and which is a phrase of humility, you know, a servant, maidservant. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's it. I got no more questions. Yes, sir. Oh, to God that our kids would be this way, and God probably wishes we would be this way, and not like two or three more chapters. Okay, I got one more question. So like, how is this going to happen, and when and where and what? She gets simple facts, profound facts, and then all she can come up with is, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Okay, I'm in. So what's God asked you to do? What impossible thing has God asked you to do? And you go, oh, I can't do that. Exactly, you can't do it, but he can. For with God, nothing will be impossible. With me, a bunch of stuff's impossible. With him, it's not impossible. Don't give up on his plan, on his impossible stuff. And if he gives you something to do, just say, yes, sir. People say, well, to me, like, when did you surrender to preach? I never surrendered to preach because nobody put a gun in my back. This is not a surrender like, oh, okay, I'll do it. Just don't shoot me. It is responding to what he tells you to do. You can run from that a little bit, but if God tells you to do something, for Christ's sake, your sake, his sake, everybody's sake, just do it already. Now, how much easier is this story for the girl to go, yes, sir, than, okay, you know what? Let me pray about this and get back to you. Because this is really going to mess my whole life up and everything. I got a wedding coming up, and, you know, the pregnancy thing's not going to work. You know, here we go. All the reasons, all the excuses, I'm not smart enough, I'm not old enough, I'm not whatever enough. You must be enough or he wouldn't have picked you. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. So she's like, I'm out of here. I got to go see my cousin Elizabeth. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. In other words, John the Baptist in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You go back early in this chapter, and Zacharias was promised that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, before he was born. This is when it happened. This isn't about abortion and all that. Let me tell you something. People are people before they're born. Jesus was Jesus from the moment he was conceived. He wasn't Jesus when he was born only. He was in the womb. John the Baptist, everybody, you were a person in the womb. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Already there's a believer. Already Elizabeth gets it. The God of the universe is being carried around inside this young woman. Now, I got to go back to this a minute. And I'm not throwing us under the bus, me either, but this is kind of what I've been processing. Something is big time wrong if nobody picks up on the fact that you are carrying Jesus around. Somebody is going to pick up on it. Somebody's going to look in your eyes. They're going to go, there's something about you. There's something different. I grew up with some of the meanest people on the planet, and they were supposedly Christians. They were not mad at hell. They were mad as hell. Bitter, angry, no joy. My mom used to say this all the time. She'd go to speak to women's groups and say, you need to get you some joy. My mama had joy. You got any joy? Man, there are times I get out there in a store or something in traffic and go, man, I am so glad I do not have a fish on my car. Because my attitude sucks or something's wrong and I'm not much of a carrier at that moment. Walked in a store the other day, asked a guy for some help trying to find something. I said, excuse me, you know, whatever. And I had a little attitude myself, but anyhow. I'm a Christian, though, so he never picked up on that. So I say, excuse me, sir, could you help me? And this guy just kind of turned around and stared at me. It wasn't, you know, can I help you, sir, or whatever. And so I said, do you work here? He had a big old badge with his name on it. And he goes, yeah, I work here. I said, well, just saying, you know, kind of got back up in his business. You know, just thought, well, you know, shouldn't you be like helping me? I'm a customer. And then I walked away, thought, you know, now I'm the one being the piece of work. Forget him, it's me. I'm the one being impatient. I'm the one being demanding. Like, oh, you should be nice to me. What's wrong with you? You know what? I should be nice to him, and I shouldn't be have to think about this all the time. So you make assumptions, think, oh, he's a pastor. He just floats around and, you know, little flask of holy water just hitting people along the way. God bless you, my child. God bless you, you know. It didn't work that way. Just come ask my girls. But what's wrong with that picture? I hide that light under a bushel. They can never see him because I'm keeping them from seeing because I'm so caught up in me and my selfishness and me, my life. And so you climb back in a closet somewhere and say, Lord, enough of me already. Let them see you. And then when they finally get a glimpse of him, they go, wow, that's crazy. You know, you're one of the ugliest people I've ever seen, but you're beautiful somehow. Like, how do you do that? And something inside you just overrides humanity even. And they see him somehow the way this deal is supposed to work. Someone's supposed to be able to look in my eyes and look right in Jesus' eyes and go, wow, there's somebody in there. Something's up with you, dude. What's up with you? And always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. It means somebody's going to ask. And we live like we got no hope, no faith. Everything's impossible. Instead of nothing being impossible, everything is impossible. Oh, woe is me. Are you going to make it? Oh, pray for me, brother. I'm not doing well. God, you know, pray for me. I'm hanging in there. Quit hanging. Live, breathe, walk, trust him. Of course it's going to be okay. So she cries out, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. Wow, that's a great statement for women in general. Underline that if you're a woman. Blessed is she who believed. God comes along and tells you something and you go, okay, God, you're blessed if you just believe it. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. These things are extraordinary things in the scripture. Why are you blessed if you believe? Because when you believe something God tells you, he backs it up. You can cash scripture. You can take it to God's bank and say, look, you said this. I'm here. You signed it in your blood. I'm here to cash this check. I believe. Maybe help my unbelief, but I believe. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, and then here goes Mary. Now, I don't know where you do this, but if it's working vertically between you and God, this right here is going to happen somewhere, sometime. It may be by yourself in a car. I see these crazy people driving down the road, like singing. You see their mouth moving. You can't hear them. They're like, you know, they're singing something. Rocking out, banging the steering wheel. You know, maybe in your car, maybe in your closet someplace, it may be in a service somewhere with a congregation of people singing. Sooner or later, you are going to magnify this God. You will not be able to contain it. Doesn't mean you have to raise your hands. It doesn't mean you have to dance your feet. It doesn't mean you have to get all expressive like other people. But you are going sooner or later to get completely overwhelmed. If it's working, you are going to get completely overwhelmed and not be able to contain the fact that God has chosen you. He has moved into you, lives in you, through you, and is trying to change the world. And on top of all that, you're going to get to spend eternity worshiping him forever. And so you say, well, I don't get the whole music thing. If you don't get the music thing, you don't get the thing. Now, that is a broad, big statement. But we got people that come in here, sneak in here, and listen to me preach. You know what? You are missing the campfire. You're eating a hot dog and getting out. You're missing the campfire. You're missing the time that we sit around and play the guitar and sing and get into the deal. You're not going to listen to sermons forever in heaven, but you are going to worship. And she gets so overwhelmed. She hears what Elizabeth has to say, and here it comes out. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. You want to make a big deal about Mary? Then call her blessed, because she got picked. That's as high as you can get her. She got picked to be Jesus' mom. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Explodes in this worship. You say, well, where does that come from? She's just some little girl. How'd she come up with that? When God gets a hold of your heart, your mind, your life, you can't imagine what can come out of your mouth. You don't know what you could express if you just let him be himself and live through you. Now, let me go back to one verse, that verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then also verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. What is it that God has spoken to you about? Now, see, it may be becoming a Christian. A guy I spent some time with just the other day, atheist. I said, will you do me a favor? I said, you're not a very good atheist. I said, what would it take for you to believe? He said, well, if God like showed up, some impossible thing happened, then I would believe. I said, so you would believe in a God that doesn't exist if he showed up? And he said, yeah. I said, you need to work on being a better atheist. So what's my prayer for this kid? Now, God, and I read him sitting at lunch, got my phone out and read him Romans chapter 1 and said, dude, you are without excuse already. Because all of creation screams that he is. So you've already crossed the line. So if God shows up miraculously some way for you, then he has had mercy beyond mercy. But I'm going to pray that he'll show up where you go, there's no way this happened, but that it was God. I said, will you do me a favor? Will you call me? He said, you'll be the second person because he's got a buddy he knows is praying the same thing. I'll call you second. Now you say, well, can that kid become a Christian? Absolutely. What's more impossible than that? You say, I don't believe in miracles. Let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, you are a living miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may have forgotten that or it never really clicked with you. You cannot be a Christian and a miracle not have taken place. You have been born a second time, the fruit of another womb, the womb of God himself, where a seed planted in that faith in him brings forth a new life, a new everything.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus, especially during this holiday season. You know, that's the goal of this program and the goal of Richard himself, to be God's hands, feet, and voice, to help us grow in our faith journey and to become a reflection of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. You know, when you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So we'd love to hear from you, whether you've been on this faith road for a while or just getting started. The website is richardellistalks.com. There's a prayer wall to click on so you can share how we can come alongside you this holiday season. Also, during the 25 Talks of Christmas this month, it's a different holiday-themed program each and every day. So if you miss any previous Christmas talk, just click on the Daily Talks Advent calendar to listen to, download, or share any of these Christmas talks. It's right there at richardellistalks.com. And finally, a quick reminder that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website. Simply text the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to our toll-free number, 855-6-RICHARD. So, until the next of our 25 Talks of Christmas, we love you, we're praying for you, and we thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.